Hi, and thank you for joining me today for this edition of Senior Talk. I want to share an incredibly impressive success story regarding physical therapy. I know that I've had physical therapy shows on before because I am such a strong believer in the success of physical therapy. If you're a regular listener, you know I mentioned my mother, Margie, on a regular basis. She's 97 and she's been having physical therapy. She had a shoulder injury, and so we got that straightened out. But to improve her balance and her strength, because at 97, I was seeing the frailty. And I'm sure people are saying, well, she's 97, that's to be expected. But the thing is, it really isn't, unless there's some underlying cause. So she's been hooked up with my guest, Travis DeBay. And the difference is miraculous. She no longer needs a step stool to get into my SUV, which she always did, because her legs are strong enough now to lift herself up. She can climb stairs more easily and confidently. She does go down the stairs in her building, which scares me, but I can't seem to get her to stop it. And I was worried. She was getting physically weaker. I was seeing the writing on the wall. I was seeing the frailty creep in, and it felt like there was a wheelchair in her future, and I was investigating and researching having a ramp built so that she could get into my house, all the things. She's stronger now than she's been in years, and that is thanks to Travis DeBay. As I said, he's been on the show before. If you want to hear that show, log on to WVOMFM.com and you can hear it in podcast. Briefly, Travis is the owner of DeBay Physical Therapy and Golf Performance. We're going to talk about that too. He earned his doctorate in physical therapy from Husson. If you want to go to his website, it's debaypt.com, DEABAYPT.com. Travis, hi. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me back.
I sing your praises because I can't believe the difference. Before the show, I mentioned my mother has an older family member who's about 7, 8 years younger than she is, who is just pretty much immobile because of lack of strength. And the old adage, if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. And what do you say to people who think she's in her 90s, why bother? What difference could it possibly make? I've seen the difference, but what do you say to people who are skeptical?
Yes, it's all about what you want to do, and I think most people have a goal of still being as active as they can be, and whatever that looks like. And I've had people in their late 90s who still walk their dogs every day. I have had people in their late 90s who garden and are very more active than people, 20 years their junior, and so. The sky is really the limit, and you don't know where your ceiling is in terms of how much you can do and what your function can be unless you really try. And usually people hit a point at which they're willing to try and see what can I do. My personal experiences, as well as a wealth of research out there, says that you can gain strength at any age. You can improve your balance at any age. There are things that are going to make it harder. And the older you get, the harder it is. So the progress can be a bit slower. And sometimes that can be a frustrating barrier, but almost everybody who puts in the work, puts in the time, will end up saying, yeah, I can recognize that I am a lot better. Occasionally, and I just actually had this conversation with somebody last week who I've been working with on and off for the past 3 years now, 3.5 years. And she said to me, and she's had a whole host of things kind of go against her. She said, I'm the same as I was 3 years ago. And I was like, well, you went when we started from being 94 to 97. And so in that same age bracket. And that's actually pretty impressive with everything that's happened to you, because if you did nothing, we would expect you to be, a fair bit worse in terms of what you can functionally do. So, we'd like to see everybody get what we call better, but sometimes not being worse is better too.
That's a really good point because it is a slippery slope and a downward spiral as you don't exercise, you don't move around, and that age does creep in. maintaining what you have is terrific because you're right, a wheelchair could be the next step. And even if someone is in a wheelchair, there are things that they can do as well, upper body strength. So you sent me your, I asked you for some frequently asked questions because I'm sure you get questions repeated all the time. And a lot of people think physical therapy is only if you've had an injury or you go to rehab after surgery, but it's so much more. So, one of the questions that you sent was, I have arthritis. Can you help me? And I understand when people have arthritis, it can be scary, it can be very painful. And people say, you have to exercise, but if it hurts a lot, you don't want to. I've been there myself with my arthritic ankle. So, what do you say to that?
So I think the common thought is that if we don't change what's happening basically and what the imaging looks like and what's happening in terms of the degenerative process, that we're not going to be able to improve. But there's a really good amount of research to support improving the joint's flexibility, stability, strength, and your ability to then see an improvement in function and pain with that. With a severely arthritic joint, maybe the expectation is not for you to be pain-free, but if you could be 20% better, 50% better, maybe that delays the process to the next step, which might be a surgical intervention. Maybe you're able to get by totally without, and maybe the arthritis is there, but it's not the primary driver of your pain. So you want to make sure that it is, because they've done some really interesting studies where they take images of people who have pain and who don't have pain, or aren't symptomatic, and they can find varying degrees of arthritis in people who have no symptoms. So what that tells us is that we want to make sure that what you're having for symptoms is related to the arthritis. Because if there's people walking around with moderate to severe arthritis in their knees or hips and they don't have pain, that tells us that that's the potential for everybody. Now, that doesn't mean, though, that surgical intervention isn't the best case, because we certainly have a lot of people who come in here and we give it our best shot and they give it their best shot. And hey, turns out this wasn't going to work for you. And they get a joint replacement or something and they do great. And a lot of times that's what you need, but we also see cases of people who succeed, and you don't really know until you try. And I think most people, once they have that conversation, they're ready to say, well, I don't really have a lot to lose. The worst that'll happen is that I gain some flexibility and strength, and that's not a terrible outcome.
No, not at all. And if they're in better shape going into surgery, the recovery would be better anyway than
For
if
sure.
they weren't. So that makes a difference in and of itself. And I also encourage people, if you have a physical therapist, to do what they tell you to do, because I broke my ankle so long, like 30 years ago, and it hurt. Physical therapy hurt. And my physical therapist at the time joked that he was a physical terrorist, and it hurt a lot. And I stopped doing it. And he promised me I would lose range of motion if I stopped. And lo and behold, don't have the range of motion I do in the other one. So while I don't think that being gleeful that it hurts so much is a good idea, fighting through that pain, though, is, even if it hurts a little, is worth it. Because I wonder how it would be if I had just kept doing it and fought through that. What do you think about that and the whole joke years and years ago about physical terrorists?
Yeah, I mean, there certainly are some times when we have to push through some discomfort to get back range of motion. But for the most part, the kind of the mentality and the philosophy of that around that has shifted quite a fair bit, where most of what we do shouldn't be painful. There's very few times that I ever coach somebody that what we're going to do is going to be uncomfortable, unless you describe like muscle working as uncomfortable. That's just exercise. For the most part, we can find ways, and we want to find ways to be able to do all of what we're trying to accomplish without causing you pain.
We're going to take a break. And when we come back, I want to talk about how you get someone like you, how you get the physical therapy if you have not had an injury, you haven't been in the hospital, Will Medicare pay for it? Can you get physical therapy just for stamina and balance if you're much older? So stay with us. We are going to be right back. Lots more to come with Travis DeBay. We'll be back right after this. Hi, we're back with Senior Talk, talking with Travis DeBay and all the miracles he's been able to perform on my mother. It's incredible to me. She's got more strength now than 10 years ago. It's amazing every time I see her how well she does. But let's talk about insurance. Now, if someone who has not had an injury, but they're listening to this and they're thinking, boy, my balance isn't very good and I don't have a lot of stamina and I'm not very strong and I want to do this, how do they get through that physical therapy door? And what about Medicare?
Yeah, so the thing that we need in order to be able to have something billable by insurance is to have some functional goals, things that either you can't do and you'd like to be able to do that's part of your everyday life, or something that you're having a hard time with, and it can be, gardening, doing the dishes, stairs, anything of that nature. Just have to have some functional goals, and an injury certainly makes it super easy if you've been to your doctor and have a diagnosable condition or something that they've looked in on that you could benefit from physical therapy.
Do you recommend someone going to their primary care provider and saying, I'm feeling unsteady. I think I'd like some physical therapy to get some strength? Because I know that a lot of older people are really fearful of sharing that they're feeling unstable, that they're afraid of falling, because a lot of times they equate that with, I can't live on my own. Someone's going to come and see that I'm not able to live on my own. And that's not the case. We want you to get better. But there's a fear there of admitting I'm feeling unstable. How do you work around that?
The best thing to do is to approach your doctor as soon as you start to feel unstable, because in those cases, it's just like when you start to feel like you're getting a little bit weaker. It's far easier to make really good improvements in your balance and your strength when you're just starting to notice it, versus after you've had a couple of falls and your balance is really getting a lot worse. And there's a study done where they found that people who fall once, their likelihood of falling again doubles. And so, yeah, I've had people express that fear about if I admit that I'm losing my balance, then I'll lose my independence. But I've never seen that to be the case. That doesn't mean that it doesn't happen, but I've never seen or heard that being the case. When you lose your independence is most often when you really have lost your ability to be independent. And so, being proactive, taking the steps, getting into PT or doing something about it, talking to your doctor is the best first step.
You know, that's very true too. And even using a walker, Marge uses a walker and she fought it for years. I will lose my independence. I'm not using a walker. And I said, you're more dependent without it because you're hanging on to people, usually me, and hanging on. And she had this unique way of pinching this little piece of fat on the back of my arm to hang on to. Mom, I'm done with this. I cannot. I mean, it would make my eyes water because she would just pinch. And I said, you have to have a walker. You'll be much more independent if you use this as a tool. You wear glasses and don't think anything of it. A walker's the same thing. It's just a tool. And she got it, loves it. I bought her some in different colors. I don't know if she'll ever not need the walker, but I know she walks at a pretty good clip down her hallway now. And she talked to her doctor about this. She wasn't afraid to say, I need more. I don't want to end up not being able to move around. So having an honest conversation is recommended, even through the fear. And then Medicare, with depending on the diagnosis, will they cover just saying a balance issue or a stamina issue? Because they go hand in hand.
They do. And so you just need to equate one of those two things to function. That's what it always is going to come back to. If you're feeling unsteady, but you can do everything, you say, I can do everything I need to do and I don't have trouble with any of it. And we do a falls risk screening and you don't have any risk for falls. which is unlikely if you're feeling like you have a balance issue. But that's the other way to justify it, is if maybe you're not kind of keying in on something that functionally is decreased. Maybe there's a lack of wanting to admit that too, to some degree. But we do a fall risk screening, and you show up as like a high fall, then yeah, they will pay for that.
Excellent. That makes a big difference for a lot of people that they will do that. And once they get started with PT, they probably can maintain it on their own if they do get cut off, if they're willing to do the work. I want to ask you, so someone, one of the questions is that people have asked you is, I'm X amount over the age of 80. Now Marge is 17 years over 80, but can I get stronger? Is it worth the time and effort? And we've covered a little bit of this, but for someone who's still really skeptical, will it make a difference if they start, even if they start with PT and they add a little strength training, rubber bands, hard weights, whatever it is?
Yeah, for sure. And anybody can gain strength at any age. And you've probably had people on who talk a lot about nutrition and diet. And I always give a little quick intro to this with everybody, but really particularly people when they're a little bit older. You need to dial in your hydration, your protein intake, your overall caloric intake, and you need to work hard. We always have to be cautious working, building into it to make sure that we don't overshoot in the first few sessions. But once you experience exercise, experience a little bit of soreness, and we gradually work into it, it's a matter of pushing yourself and pushing the envelope a little bit. And that doesn't have to be super painful or uncomfortable. If you do it in the right way, guided by the physical therapist or a good strength and conditioning coach, you can gain strength at any age. You just can't always do really low level exercises either. Like some people are like, oh, I sit in my chair and I kick my legs out a whole bunch. And it's like, that's great. And you should do that. And that helps you maintain. If you actually want to gain strength, here's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to actually work out.
That well, that's a really good point that people who think they're doing it on their own and that may improve their circulation and help them to that degree somewhat, but it's you really need a professional because you can get hurt too if you just start doing things or your friend is doing something but they're in better shape. Before we go to the next break, I want to ask you, I keep seeing this device on TV and it's kind of an elliptical trainer device. But you plug it in and it does the work for you. You just put your feet on it and it circles and it says, oh, there's no strain. It just works your muscles. I don't know how it can do that because you're just putting your feet on it and turning it on and it basically does it for you. So do you think that's just a waste of money?
I haven't seen it in particular. I can't imagine it really working your muscles in a sense. Maybe it feels good on the joints. I don't know if they're
Perhaps.
constantly moving, but yeah, I
And
can't imagine.
maybe circulation, but yeah, there's no effort on the part of the participant. They're just turning it on and having their feet move around. And every time I see it, I think of you. But we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we are going to talk about his golf performance, that part of his business for all of you who are golfers, and what that means. So stay with us. We'll be right back right after this. Hi, we're back with Senior Talk, Travis DeBay, physical therapist extraordinaire. So part of your business is golf performance, and I don't know anything about golf. I don't know anything about this piece of it. What is that? What does that do? And do you have to be a serious golfer to be a part of this? Tell me everything about that.
Yeah, so I got into this just because I love the game. I've been playing since I was young, and played a bit in college, and then had the opportunity to take a certification course, which has been a couple parts through the Titleist Performance Institute. And basically, the goal of that organization, everybody who golfs is familiar with the brand name of Titleist, but they have a whole broad base of research and facilities around how we make people move better to golf better, and taking a look at what do the pros do in terms of their physical fitness that we could emulate as novices or as aspiring pros, whatever, wherever you're at in that spectrum. And so, to the point of like, do you have to be a high level golfer to take advantage of this? No, I've had people who, a good number of my clients are middle aged and they're looking at their future and wanting to golf into retirement. They can start to feel some decline in their flexibility. They can start to see that they're not hitting the ball as far. I've had a number of people who didn't realize until we started working together, back to the previous conversation, how they were starting to lose their balance quite a bit with some simple balance tests and saying, wow, okay, I should start working on these things now because I didn't realize I was already starting to have balance issues. Joint replacements, people have some degree of apprehension sometimes surrounding joint replacements, getting back to golf. And then it looks at too, I took another part of their certification, where is kind of a medical track of how do we address properly address, your tennis elbow, your low back pain, your knee pain, and how could we be better intervening to help those types of conditions? Because sometimes if you look at something with a little bit of a narrow vision, and you don't take into account everything that's happening in the golf swing, you might be missing a big part of the root cause of what's happening. And, I've had people who have gone through normal PT without success when they try to actually return to higher level activities and golf specifically, who we look at some aspect of their physical self or their swing and how that could be impacting what's going on for their injury.
That's fascinating. Is that something someone comes to you for because that's what they want? Or could someone, if they went to their doctor, would that require a referral of, I play a lot of golf and now my arm hurts or my back hurts or I'm feeling like I'm going to fall over when I make the swing? Is that self-referral or do you need a prescription for that?
It can be both. So for the most part, most insurances don't require a referral in Maine. So you can just come to me, call me, and we can some of them require that you do have a referral, in which case we always look into that ahead of time and say, nope, we've got to get that referral first. For the most part, I just need to have the notes signed by the doctor. So as long as they're okay with that, we have them in the kind of the line of communication, then that's all we have to really do.
One of the other questions was, and it's kind of along this line, someone having a hard time actually getting in to see their doctor for a referral for PT. So if Maine doesn't require that for insurance, could someone just call you and self-refer, or do they need a diagnosis? Is that where that part comes in?
They can self-refer. And so percentage-wise, probably at least like 25 to 40% of our patients here, they self-refer. And so again, we always look into it. It's really easy most of the time to tell right off the bat if they're going to need a referral or not. But for the most part, they don't. And that kind of as long as the doctor's okay with that and they're okay with us just sending them the plan of care, they usually sign it, send it back. We stay in communication with them. Then it saves that wait time. If you have just a strictly an elbow injury and it's going to take 4 to 8 weeks to get in to see your doctor, and then you're going to have to take, it's like, okay, let's just jump right on this, take care of it. And usually pain's gone before you even would have made it to that doctor's appointment.
That's very true. And that also alleviates the need for someone to be fearful of saying, I'm feeling unsteady, discussing this all with their doctor. Well, they should. It is scary. So they could just come to you and say, hey, I'm feeling like this. And maybe you can make it work without them having to go down that other road. That would be encouraging to a lot of people, I think. We are just about out of time. Travis, thank you so much for coming on. Do you have any final thoughts you'd like to share before we close?
I don't think so. We covered quite a wide range there.
We did. You were great. So again, the website is DEABAYPT.com. DEABAYPT.com. And his business is located right on Mount Hope Avenue in that medical building across from Channel 2, if you're in Bangor. And you do home visits as well when applicable. Marge does not drive out. You come to her house, which is incredibly helpful. Thank you very much again, Travis. That's it for me. This is Senior Talk. Thank you so much for listening.